Last week, wrestling, one of the earliest and most elemental Olympic sports, was dropped from the Summer Games. A stunning takedown for wrestling fans around the globe and for the sport in Iowa. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In a state where we like to think wrestling is synonymous with Iowa, last week's news was completely unexpected and devastating.
It's worse than death because you can't control death. I feel like we could have controlled this to some degree, get ahead of it a little bit. There were warning signs in the past.
Hawkeye wrestling coach and Olympic gold medalist Tom Brands. This hour, we talk with wrestlers and with those who've dedicated their lives to the sport. What will become of wrestling without the Olympics? Or is there still hope? Join our conversation with your thoughts, your feelings, as wrestling is forced from the Olympic mat after this news. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Last week, wrestling, one of the earliest and most elemental Olympic sports, was dropped from the Summer Games. A stunning takedown for wrestling fans around the globe and for fans and for the sport here in Iowa. In a state where we like to think wrestling is synonymous with Iowa, last week's news was completely unexpected and devastating. This hour, we talk with wrestlers and with those who've dedicated their lives to the sport, and we hope to talk with you, wrestlers and wrestling fans in our audience. What is your reaction to the IOC's decision? What will become of wrestling without the Olympics here in Iowa also? Or is there still hope? We'll explore that this hour. Join our conversation with your thoughts, your feelings, your questions. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. You can also email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Twitter. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. Also on Facebook. Get in touch with us. Before we get into our conversation with our many guests this hour, let's go back to reconnect with a man at the very, very heart of Iowa's Olympic wrestling legacy. Famous for having only lost one match in his entire Iowa State University collegiate career, winning the gold at the 1972 Olympic Games in Munich while not giving up a single point. He was the head coach many years at the University of Iowa, where he created a dynasty, winning 16 NCAA team titles. This is Dan Gable being interviewed following that 1972 Olympic win.
What a wonderful thing to say, a few of them. Dan Gable, what can I say? You dedicated your life to it. You were up there in the stands, and you kissed that gold medal. It meant that much.
Yes, sir, it did. This is the tops in sports, winning the Olympics, and this is what I've been working for all my life, and I won it, and it's the greatest feeling I've ever had.
Well, Dan, congratulations. Our congratulations. And I know out in Waterloo, Iowa, where the bells are ringing.
I hope so. I'm glad to bring it home.
Dan Gable, who won at 149.5 pounds, and...
Dan Gable of Waterloo, Iowa, taking the gold in 1972 at those Olympic Games. We came up with a list of world and Olympic medalists with ties to Iowa. There are 29 on my list, too many to read. Dan Gable, of course, one of the top names on that list. Let's start off our conversation this hour with Craig Sesker joining us by phone, USA Wrestling Communications Manager, USA Wrestling, the national governing body of amateur wrestling in the United States. Sesker is also the author of Bobby Douglas, The Life and Legacy of an American Wrestling Legend. Good afternoon to you, Craig Sesker.
Good afternoon.
Both freestyle and Greco-Roman wrestling being contested at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, but they will be excluded, as far as we know at this point, from the 2020 Summer Games. The host city not decided there yet. This is according to the IOC. What is your best understanding right now of why the IOC decided to drop wrestling as one of the 25 core sports in 2020?
That's a very good question. It's an issue. We were very surprised and stunned by the news, as many of the people were around the world. And, you know, we were aware that a vote was coming, but we really hadn't received... We had talked with the U.S. Olympic Committee and some of our contacts, and we really didn't understand a lot of the reasoning behind that. We were basically blindsided by it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our understanding was, you know, there were maybe a couple other sports that were on the quote-unquote chopping block, and it's just something that... we really got blindsided by.
On the chopping block, why does the IOC need to drop any sports? What was the reasoning that was communicated to you?
They keep a number of athletes in the Olympics, and they want to keep that to a certain level. And there used to be more athletes in the Olympics, and one of our arguments is, you know, why not just keep wrestling on the program and maybe add another sport, you know, and just, you know, wrestling obviously has, you know, been in every modern Olympics, you know, since it started. So it's just one of those things where they've tried to limit the, you know, the put a cap on the number of participants. And, you know, that's one of the things that we've kind of lobbied for is, mm-hmm. you know, why not just keep it in the Olympics and maybe add another sport?
In hindsight, can you see that wrestling in any of its entities, the International Wrestling Organization perhaps, did anything wrong to warrant this decision? Is this the consequence of behavior of any, maybe the International Wrestling Organization in the run-up to this? Do you
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think FILA, the international governing body for wrestling, I think they didn't have a very strong relationship with the International Olympic Committee, and some changes have already been made. The IOC indicated that was an issue, and the president from FILA, Rafael Martinetti, has stepped down, and a new acting president from Serbia has taken over, and that was one of the areas that we needed to improve the stronger relationship with the international governing body, mm-hmm. with the International Olympic Committee. And those steps have been made, and that was a very huge step. It occurred this past weekend. So we feel like, you know, there's been tremendous outpouring of support worldwide. I mean, it's been incredible. And a lot of the non-wrestling media have jumped on board with this. And just, I mean, the support has been phenomenal, and mm-hmm. we've built a lot of momentum with this.
You said the FILA president stepping down, that Swiss businessman, Rafael Martinetti. Is this really one person's fault, you think?
No, I mean, it's hard to say because you don't know the people on the executive board, what went on in their meeting. It was a closed-door meeting. It was a secret ballot, and we're not sure what all the circumstances were. My understanding was there were five rounds of voting that took place, but you know, a lot of that wasn't for public consumption. And so, you know, I think the leadership in FILA needed to be stronger. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the United States and Russia were pretty vocal about that. And I think we've got stronger leadership now.
Okay, so it will be there in 2016, Rio de Janeiro, 2020 at this moment out. What is the big question? What is the chance of bringing wrestling back onto the mat for 2020?
Well, one thing people have to remember is wrestling is not out of the Olympics. We're still in. We're in for 2016. It's been recommended that wrestling be taken off the core list of sports programs for the Olympics. And the next step in this process is there's another meeting in May in St. Petersburg, Russia. They will recommend, the IOC Executive Board will recommend three sports to be voted on for inclusion in the 2020 Olympics. And then the final vote is in September in Argentina. So, I mean, wrestling is still in, you know, even in 2020 at this point because, you know, it hasn't been officially voted out. It's been recommended that mm-hmm. it be removed. And another thing they can do in September is if wrestling is not one of the three sports recommended, there's a IOC committee of 110 people, and they can vote to overturn the executive board's decision to take wrestling out. So, a lot of people are saying that, you know, wrestling's out, but we're, you know, we're fighting this thing, and we're hopeful and we're optimistic, and we still feel like we've got a chance.
Craig Sasker is USA Wrestling Communications Manager, the national governing body of the amateur wrestling in the U.S. Stay with us, please, Craig. I want to move on to Kevin Jackson in our Ames studio. Kevin Jackson, the Iowa State University's head wrestling coach, also Olympic gold medalist, coached the U.S. Olympic teams in 2004 and 2008. Coach Jackson, welcome to our program.
Thank you very much, and we definitely appreciate you covering this issue as strongly as you have been.
Thank you very much for joining us. You're currently training Olympic hopefuls, both for Iowa State University's wrestling team and at the Cyclone Wrestling Club. How has the IOC's decision affected athletes in these areas?
Well, you know, as wrestlers, you know, and I think Craig kind of alluded to it, that it's hard for us to say some of the things like we're out of the Olympic Games and is there a chance? You know, as wrestlers and have the mindset of wrestlers, we're confident that wrestling is going to be a part of the Olympic program in 2020 and forever, and that's just our mindset. But it definitely has had an effect on our senior-level athletes as well as our collegiate athletes. First of all, our collegiate athletes, the majority of them come to Iowa State not only to be national champions and All-Americans, but to go on and compete in the World Championships and the Olympic Games. And so that was devastating to those young men, and we had to continue to communicate to them that you can only control what you can control. We have people in place that are going to take care of that issue, and we're confident that we're going to be involved in 2020. My senior-level athletes, their focus is on 2016, and so they can't be distracted by this too much because they have to focus on 2016. But obviously, any news of this kind is it hurts surprising.
How many Olympic hopefuls do you have for 2016 in these two clubs?
We have three Olympic hopefuls right now training in Ames. And we're looking to add more before the 2016 games. But right now we have three current athletes training with us in pursuit of that 2016 Olympic Games.
You said, of course, devastating for those training long and hard over so many years since they were literally tots to be perhaps at the pinnacle of wrestling worldwide. Can you give us any details about the reaction you had to deal with from the athletes you're coaching, specific things that were said or done?
Well, just confusion, you know. I mean, when you really look at what wrestling brings to the Olympic Games, we hit every criteria, and we're probably at the top of the list as far as the criteria is concerned on how they determine Olympic sports and the demographics that it crosses and everything else that was on their criteria list to determine whether a sport should be in the Olympic Games or not. Mm-hmm. So it was just confusion from our young men, just not understanding, well, how does this happen and why does this happen? And not so much from, from our collegiate athletes for sure, but they're easier to communicate with. But the grassroots coaches and the grassroots kids, I can't tell you how many pictures of youth wrestling teams have been sent to me with a poster that says "Save Olympic Wrestling" or "Keep Olympic Wrestling," and not only from the United States, but I've received pictures from China, Japan, Iran, Russia of these young kids that look at the Olympics as basically their way out or their way to get out of sometimes poverty and other negative opportunities that might not present themselves. So. It's disappointing more so for our youth because my collegiate athletes, my senior athletes, we can communicate and have straight talk with. But our youth and these kids, especially when you're talking Iran, Russia, China, Uzbekistan, Georgia, that's a little bit tougher conversation because we have basketball, football, baseball. Mm-hmm. They have wrestling, soccer. You know, they don't have those other
Do you think, sports. Coach Jackson, do you think that Olympic-style wrestling with its amateur roots and the absence of this really big visibility except during the Olympic Games every 4 years, it doesn't have the superstars like some other sports do. Do you think that's partially at fault here?
Well, I think that, you know, someone has to be responsible for keeping our athletes' names and faces in front of the American camera, in front of society. I mean, you know, I don't think Russia has that problem. I don't think Iran has that problem with making sure that their best athletes in the world, their Olympic champions, that they continue to be put on a pedestal and to be endorsing products and doing different things to always keep the USA wrestling emblem out there, the Olympic champion name out there, and just to always keep that at the forefront of our sport. And I think we have to do a better job of promoting the sport in this country and outside of the country. And so I do think that's had a little bit of effect on, you know, how it's perceived here in the United States, not so much in Iran, Russia, some of those other republics that wrestling is their number one sport.
Iowa State University head wrestling coach Kevin Jackson, Olympic gold medalist, coach of two Olympic teams in 2004, 2008 in our Ames studio. Also in our Ames studio, Daron Wynn. He's an Olympic hopeful training at the Cyclone Wrestling Club under Coach Jackson. Hi, Daron.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Now, what was your reaction when you heard this? Disbelief?
Yeah, a lot of disbelief. I mean, like me and a couple of the guys that are actually training, we were actually in Cuba for a competition recently, and you get limited internet over there. So we, like, basically, it was a kind of word of mouth. We heard it from a guy And then, you know, every time we could get internet, we'd kind of see the updates on it. And, you know, I kind of got more filled in as I got back. And that we were actually over there with head coach Zeke Jones. So he was pretty knowledgeable about the situation. But it was just, yeah, a lot of disbelief. Kind of like it probably still hasn't even hit me. You know, I still don't believe it. You know what I mean?
However, wrestling for the 2016 Olympics is safe. You hope to be competing in those Olympics.
Yeah.
If the IOC's decision were for the 2016, not just the 2020 and beyond, what would you have done?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, like I said, I still don't know what I'm going to do. You know, a lot of the younger guys, we had a younger guy there with us, Stephen Carter. He, you know, he's going to be an Olympic hopeful probably in 2020. And, you know, he was just kind of like, you know, freaking out. I really don't know what I would do. You know, I would do everything I could to help the situation about, you know, we were kind of joking about being like, you know, rebels about it. Or, you know, if we had a protest or whatever, we'd do it, you know. Because, right. I mean, this is our life, you know. A lot of us that do this now, it's because it's for the love of the sport, you know. It's you know, we don't just do it to do it. You know, we do it to be an Olympic gold medalist.
Deron, how long have you been training? When did you first start seriously with wrestling?
I mean, I've been wrestling since I was 4 years old, ever since I can remember. So, you know, I mean, when I'm 23 now, it's 19 years. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a way of life. You know, it's all I know right now. I mean, it means everything. Wrestling means everything to me right now, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's hard to hear a decision that was made like that. So,
join our conversation as we talk about the setback for Olympic wrestling, for wrestling to be voted out of Olympic wrestling if the decision stays, if it's not overturned in 2020. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org with your questions, your reaction. Wrestlers and wrestling fans who are listening today. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Also joining us now by phone, Terry Brands, associate head wrestling coach at the University of Iowa, an Olympic bronze medalist. Terry, I understand you're on your way to Minneapolis, Coach Brands.
Yes, we are.
Okay, what are you traveling up there for?
NWCA National Duels are going on this weekend.
Okay. In terms of Iowa's team, how many Olympic hopefuls do you have right now?
Well, we have four guys that are postgraduate right now, and after this next year and the next couple of years, we're going to have more added to that.
Mm-hmm. We heard from Coach Jackson. Tell us about the reaction in your ranks. How has the IOC's decision affected the what's going on at your gyms?
The reaction is to put your head down and continue to fight and come to the mat the same way every day and trust in the leadership, that the new leadership with Fila that Craig talked about, and the leadership of these committees that are being put together worldwide, and control what you can control just like you would as a wrestler on the mat.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like Fila maybe fell down in marketing itself, marketing wrestling worldwide. So do you think that really Fila is at fault? Do you agree?
I think that our leadership in this country and the leadership in the worldwide leadership with Fila is partially at fault both. I don't want to take this a different direction, but I just don't know how we can be shocked. I remember sitting in on some meetings in 2008 and 2010 where Jim and Bill Shear both had fired warning shots across the bow of the domestic leadership here in this country.
In what form, Coach Brands?
In the form of, you know what, we got to get to Fila. We got to put our delegate, Stan Desick, Rich Bender, please get to Ralphie Martinetti. You know him better than anybody. Please get to him. Explain to him that the IOC does not see Fila as a favorable international governing body. And things like that. Here's the thing, FILA did, or the IOC did a study over 7 to 8 years, and had a 38-prong questions that they had for every sport. So they judged every sport on 38 different categories. This isn't the stuff that Coach Jackson was talking about, where the you know, they had six or seven things that where wrestling did meet those. But this is another study they did. And we were the only sport that did not participate in that due to arrogance, due to the fact that we're the oldest and the greatest sport and all this other stuff. And so, yeah, Fila is to blame. But we had some pretty intelligent people that are involved with in this country that are involved and closely associated with the leadership in USA Wrestling who brought this to our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, it went unheeded. And it's concerning to me, and I think it's concerning to Coach Jackson and others of our generation, because we're sitting by and we're letting other people, so-called leaders of the sport in the world and in this country, and maybe leaders of the older generation, they've been self-proclaiming protecting this sport and saving our sport, and look at where we're at right now.
Right. You used the term arrogant there. It sounds to me like there's a great parallel between the challenge that an individual wrestler has and the challenge that the International Wrestling Federation has, too, that you swagger out onto the mat full of arrogance, thinking you're going to win it. That doesn't win it, does it, Coach Brands?
It doesn't. There has to be preparation behind it. You have to do the homework, and you have to do the homework correctly. You know, if you do the homework and you fail the test, that's not good enough either. So you got to be in tune. And, you know, frankly, like I said, I don't want to take this another direction, but I'm shocked that we're shocked.
Mm.
Just from, you know, just from being in on those meetings and listening to these guys.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you quickly before the break, and then to Kevin Jackson, too, since you both stood on the platform to receive an Olympic medal. Is there anything for a wrestler that comes close to winning an Olympic medal?
Well, I don't know about an Olympic medal, but, I mean, I can't even imagine what a gold medal is like to win. I didn't do that. I was a bronze, and that was more disheartening than anything else because you fall short of that goal, but I mean, I've listened to Coach Gable, the greatest feeling I've ever had, you know, in that little piece that you had. And it is something that is a pinnacle of sport. And whether or not you achieve that goal or not, I mean, we're talking about the preservation of imagination and things that the youth is aspiring to be and things that are saving, you know, maybe even humanity, if you want to go that far. As a wrestling purist, I have to say that.
Mm, how so?
Because I am here because of this sport. This sport has allowed me to hone my God-given talents to bring honor and glory back that way. So that I exist basically because of wrestling has allowed me to display my physical, emotional, and mental attributes.
Kevin Jackson, before we take a break, tell us, what is it like to win an Olympic gold medal in wrestling, unlike any other championship?
Well, first of all, I just want to agree wholeheartedly with everything Terry Brand said. If wrestling fails at this level, if we can't get this Olympic Games back, I really do believe society has failed the future generation of our youth, of our kids, if we don't get this thing back. And again, I agree with everything he said. But like he said as well, it's a pinnacle of success for us as amateur athletes to win a gold medal. It's, you know, I always describe it as kind of like Christmas times 10. When you're 10 years old, you know, it's that kind of thrilling mm-hmm. feeling that never goes away. But it's just something to realize that you've accomplished your goals, that all the hard work, sacrifice, dedication,
right,
things you missed out on paid off for you. And so that was gratifying.
Okay. Kevin Jackson, please stay with us. Iowa State University head wrestling coach. I think Terry Brands, maybe you can hang on, Coach Brands, if you're still on that bus riding up to the Twin Cities.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Great. Daron Wynn with us and Craig Sesker. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. We had a parallel to Christmas there. I'll make another parallel. You're given a breakfast menu. It doesn't have eggs or bacon on it. Wouldn't that be a little bit like the Olympics without wrestling? I don't know. What do you think? 1-866-780-9100. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Last week, wrestling, one of the earliest, most elemental Olympic sports, dropped from the Summer Games. A stunning takedown for wrestling fans around the world and, of course, here in Iowa. The decision to drop wrestling made by secret ballot by the Olympic Committee's 15-member executive board at its headquarters in Switzerland. The exact vote and the reasons for the decision not given in detail. There is, however, a chance that the Olympic Committee could reverse its decision in May when it considers a 26th sport to add to the 2020 Games, a final decision to be made in September. But wrestling's immediate Olympic future seeming doubtful, that according to veteran observers of the Games. as quoted by the New York Times. We're talking about how wrestling may be excluded from the 2020 Olympics, how it will affect the sport of wrestling, especially here in Iowa. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. We're also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Before we go back to our guests and others, let's reconnect with Olympic and Iowa wrestling history again. Cale Sanderson, considered one of the greatest American amateur wrestlers in recent years, went undefeated in 4 years of wrestling at Iowa State University, 159-0, his record, winning four consecutive NCAA titles. He's the only wrestler in NCAA Division I history to go undefeated in official matches with more than 100 wins. Here's Cale Sanderson winning the gold in Athens in 2004.
Only 10 seconds remaining. Time running down. Cale Sanderson can sense it. Look at the smile on his face. He knows how close he is.
And there's some emotion. Normally we never see it, and it's obvious he's enjoying himself.
6 seconds to go. This for the gold medal. Time ticks down, and that is it.
Cale Sanderson of ISU winning the gold in 2004 in Athens. And when we did research for this program, I have a list of 30 names on a page of world and Olympic medalists with ties to Iowa. If there is any wrestling state in this union, it is Iowa. We're talking about how wrestling being excluded from the 2020 Olympics can affect sport. The sport here, we have Craig Sesker with us, USA Wrestling Communications Manager. Also, Kevin Jackson in our Ames studio was good enough to come in, the ISU head wrestling coach, Olympic gold medalist. Deron Wynn in our Ames studio as well, Olympic hopeful. Terry Brands on a bus heading up to Minneapolis, associate head wrestling coach at the University of Iowa, Olympic bronze medalist. And we want to have a couple of others join our conversation in as we continue to talk about this development. Marv Ryland is with us in our Iowa City studio, a veteran high school wrestling coach in the state and an official. And Marv Ryland, welcome to our program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be part of it.
As a high school wrestling official, former high school coach, how does the goal of competing in Olympics factor in when you have high school wrestlers? Do they think about it? Do they talk about it?
Oh, it was a hot topic this past weekend at the state wrestling tournament in Des Moines. And the way I look at it, when you're a young boy growing up, if you love to play baseball, your goal is to be a Major League Baseball player. If you're a wrestler, your goal is to be an eventual state champion, national champion, Olympic champion. That's just the way that you approach it. And I think the young people in the state of Iowa just kind of dropped their lower jaw, like in disbelief when this happened. And you know, as I was alluding to earlier with you, at the state wrestling tournament, when Coach Gable and Terry Brands and Doug Schwab came out to address the crowd that was 15,000 strong, they got a standing ovation. And, of course, Coach Gable removed his coat and showed everybody the Let's Keep Wrestling T-shirt that he had on. And it's something that really hit us in the heart. And you know, Iowa is a wrestling state, whether you're a youth wrestler, whether you're a high school wrestler, whether you're a college wrestler, and you don't like to see something taken away from you that you feel that you deserve.
You of course, listened into the first half of the show, listening to Craig Sesker and Kevin Jackson and Terry Brands there. When you listen to that conversation, are you more hopeful that the fight is on now?
I know the fight is on. I could tell that from the very moment that Governor Branstad had his press conference, and those people approached the people in the audience at the state tournament, listening to everything that's been said today. I know that they are getting organized. I know they're trying to get the right and proper leadership to proceed with this. I would never, never give up. And as so many of these people have said, don't ever sell a wrestler short, because they know how to go about their business.
Here's a really critical question from Mark in Lake, Iowa. Is there anything wrestling fans can do to keep the sport on? Let's go first to Craig Sesker. I hope you're still by phone with us, Craig.
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, one of our listeners, Mark, would like to know what wrestling fans can do to keep this sport Olympic. What can we do if we're just fans?
USA Wrestling's launched a Facebook page, Keep Wrestling in the Olympics, and also a website, keepwrestlinginTheOlympics.org. And just show your support. I mean, people can make donations to help with the fight for the cause. There's T-shirts you can buy. There's petitions you can sign. And just, you know, there's some websites where you can share your stories about what wrestling has done for you. So there really is a lot you can do. And, you know, a lot of people, the support has been tremendous. I mean, it just, you know, there's a lot of little things that people can do to support this cause.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Jackson, let me turn to you again and ask about wrestling as a sport. There's not a lot of sports, especially in the Olympics, have gear attached to them. Of course, you have some headgear in wrestling, but you don't have any instruments that you use. It is really, when we talk about an elemental sport, address that. It is just what? What is wrestling?
It's a simplistic sport. I mean, it's one-on-one. You don't need a whole lot to wrestle. If you gave us a pair of briefs and drew a circle in the sand, we could wrestle. And so that's what's attractive to a lot of our youth around the world. It's a very inexpensive sport. There's hundreds of thousands, millions that wrestle all around the world. And the opportunities to compete at the Olympic level, at the high school level, the grassroots level, the college level, exists because of a sport like wrestling. We lose opportunities for millions of young men, women, if we lose wrestling at the Olympic level. Mm-hmm. And like you said before, we're about inclusion. We don't want to exclude any sport. We don't understand why we can't add a sport and those type of things. I know the numbers that Craig talked about earlier. We understand that. But if any sport deserves to be in the Olympic Games based on our history, based on our culture, based on what wrestling does for people, the perseverance, the discipline, the sacrifice, the one-on-one, teaches you about life. Wrestling is an education. So there's no doubt how we all feel on this panel about the sport.
Mm-hmm. Dylan Chase is joining us by phone, a sophomore at Clinton High School, took fifth place at the state tournament. Dylan Chase, welcome to our program, and congratulations on your fifth place win.
Thank you.
You've been wrestling, I understand, since you were a wee boy, 4 years old or something like that?
Yeah, I was 3 years old when I started.
Mm-hmm. What appeals to you most about wrestling? How did it develop for you?
I don't know. I just like that wrestling was one of those sports where you don't have anyone to blame but yourself, and it was just that one-man sport, and it was just one-on-one.
Have you, throughout your wrestling, have you been motivated by the possibility of competing in the Olympics?
Most definitely. Ever since we were little kids, that's what we'd look up to. We'd look up to Cale Sanderson, Coach Jackson, all of them, just looking up to them, wanting to be like them.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing to hopefully change this decision by the IOC? Can you do anything, Dylan?
All I've been doing is just liking Twitter pages, Facebook pages, and that's about all I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Terry Brands, talk about, let's say this does work and Olympic wrestling comes back to the 2012 Olympics. What lesson will have been learned by all those who love wrestling around the world?
I think the lesson of the pureness of it, keeping the rules in line with what wrestling really is, understanding what fans want to see, understanding what pure wrestling people want to see. It's not only the casual fan that doesn't understand some of the rules that are in place internationally, but it's also the coaching and the athletes themselves that are put into a chance type situation, and they don't want that. And the IOC didn't want that. So I think we're going to learn that we have to continue to build relationships. We're going to have to continue to lobby and do things the right way. And somebody said to me the other day, well, wrestlers don't play games. But when you're in the leadership of a NGB or in the leadership of a international governing body, it's not even playing games. It's part of the job description. So if you uptake that job, then you have to go forward and extend yourself and get to know these IOC board members one at a time, on all the circumstances that we can.
Mm-hmm. Terry Brands, do you think the sport itself has to change in any way to raise its profile in the 4 years between each Olympics?
I think that we need to go back to a simplified rules situation and get rid of the lottery draw poll for ties. And we need to get back to where we were back, you know, when conditioning was more of a part of it. So you have the tactical, the technical, and the conditioning aspect of the sport that you're seeing more of, not just, you know, maybe lengthening, like when Coach Jackson and I wrestled together, it was one 5 minute period. And then after that in 97, it went 3 minute period with a 30-second break and then another 3 minute period. And that's the way it was when Coach Jackson wrestled for his Olympic gold medal, I believe. And even before that, when Coach Gable was wrestling, it was 3 minutes, 30-second break, 3 minutes, 30-second break, and then another 3 minute period.
Mm-hmm.
So you've gone from 9 to 6 to 5 to a potentially 4 minute match. And if it's tied, they're drawing lottery to see who gets a major advantage to win that match. And that's not what the fans or the wrestling people around the world want to see.
Coach Brands of the University of Iowa, Cyclone head coach, head wrestling coach Kevin Jackson, speak to the issue that Coach Brands just did. Do you see the sport having to change?
Well, that's been our biggest issue, our biggest problem with our international federation is the rule changes that continually happen. Like Coach said, I mean, if I went to the Olympic Games 10 years ago and won a gold medal, I could show up at last year's Olympic Games in London and not even know how our athletes are winning matches. That's the drastic change that's happened over the years. When I competed, as well as when Terry competed, I wrestled under three different set of rules in World Championships and Olympic Games. The simplest sports are the ones that continue to have success. It's, you know, basketball, put the ball in the hoop. 100 meters, run from here to there, jump over this high bar at this height. You know, the simplest sports are the ones that continue to exist. Wrestling's a very, very simple sport.
It's simple, but what I hear you and Coach Brand saying is that even insiders are confused by all the rule changes.
And it is a reflection of our leadership that's allowed that to happen. And that's why I think the IOC really took a hard look at wrestling. And I really think it's a referendum on our leadership, what FILA has done to the sport and not growing the sport. And we're now in a position that we're going to have to make major changes and maybe get back to what wrestling's all about. Coach said it perfectly. A four-minute match is not what wrestling's all about. It never has been. It never will be.
What's wrong with a four-minute match?
Well, you're taking the endurance part out of it. You're taking the toughness. You're taking the heart out of wrestling.
It's a sprint then, right?
It's a sprint. It's more of a tactical match. You're shutting down opportunities to score points. And you made it into a tennis match when you're talking about winning 2 out of 3 periods in order to win a match. That means I can beat my opponent in the first period 6-0, but then he could beat me in the next 2 periods 1-0, 1-0. I've outscored him by 4 points, but he wins the match, so he's the better wrestler. So it just seems like, and I heard Randy Lewis say it a couple days ago, that, you know, if you had to draw up a plan to really hurt wrestling, I think our leadership put us in this position, and it feels like they drew up a plan to try to hurt us as opposed to help us. And I think it could be ignorance, and I also think it's the egos have gotten to play a role in that decision making when it comes to our rules, and that's what's disappointing, I think, more than anything else. Like I just said, I wrestled under three different sets of rules at the highest level, and that's not good for the sport.
Now was Greco-Roman, and remind us how that rule is different. That has been an Olympic category up to now, right, Kevin?
Yes. The Greco-Roman is you can attack from the waist up. You cannot attack the legs at all. Freestyle is more more like your folk style wrestling, your high school wrestling, your collegiate wrestling, something you're more used to. Greco-Roman is all upper body, and obviously you see a lot more throws in upper body hand fighting and more of a combat hand to hand.
Are you all fighting for Greco-Roman as well as freestyle, or is this really save the best candidate freestyle?
We're fighting for wrestling. We have three different disciplines. We have women, we have Greco-Roman, and we have freestyle. And at this point, we're fighting for all three of our styles to be a part of the 2012 Olympics and in the Olympics forever. So that's really where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm. Craig Sesker, communications manager of USA Wrestling, the national governing body of the amateur wrestling in the United States. Females now, since when have females been wrestling at an amateur level in the United States?
Well, they've been in the world championships since the 1990s, but women's wrestling came into the Olympics in Athens in 2004. So London was the third straight Olympics where women's freestyle wrestling mm-hmm. has been contested, and it's the sport is growing, and the skill level's really improved, and it's become a pretty big part of the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, Craig, about the collaboration between different countries who love wrestling. I understand, Iran, Russia. You mentioned in the first half hour. Has this changed the relationship of wrestlers here and in those countries to pull together?
The World Cup is going on right now for freestyle wrestling. The United States just wrestled Iran about an hour ago. And our executive director, Rich Bender, is in Iran right now. Jordan Burroughs and Jake Varner, two of our Olympic gold medalists from London, are competing there. And we're in meetings with Iran, Russia, Azerbaijan, Japan, everybody that's there, trying to form a coalition to fight this together. And Russia's provided great leadership. Iran, it's their national sport. The World Cup is a sellout crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working together with all these countries. Forget about the what's going on politically. We're in this fight together.
But politically is how the decision will be made, will it not? So what is the tipping point? Who are the people who have to be convinced that wrestling needs to continue in the Olympics?
Well, the IOC executive board, first off, and we have a committee that's been formed, and Bill Shear, who worked with World Sport Chicago trying to get the 2012 Olympics in Chicago, is involved. Jim Shear, the former head of USA Wrestling, who was the head of the U.S. Olympic Committee, is involved. And we've spoken with people on the IOC executive board, and we're trying to get a feel for them about what we need to do. And one of their suggestions was strengthening the leadership of FILA. Steps mm-hmm. have been taken to improve that. And then, obviously, the 110-member International Olympic Committee is going to have the final say in September. And, we're lobbying those people. We're hiring public relations firms. We're trying to get other countries on board, which we're doing in Iran right now. And we've built a lot of momentum for this. And, the thing is, we can't worry about what's already happened. I mean, it's unfortunate. And I think the U.S. Received indications that wrestling was not on the chopping block,
yep.
And it's just one of those things that's happened, and we just have to be positive, and we have to move forward.
To wind up this hour, I'd like a few of your views on, we've talked about Iowa being, of course, the state of Iowa being such a powerhouse when it comes to world and Olympic medalists in wrestling. Why is that, Terry Brands? Well, how did Iowa get this place with so many famous names connected to it?
Well, I think it starts back with the farm roots and the blue collar, and then you have these people that have legacies, and young kids grow up to aspire to be like that, and then one of them aspires to be like that, and then now he's the next thing they look forward to, and then another kid looks forward looks to emulate him, and then he does, and then the next generation sees it, and you have, like Coach Jackson said, you have hundreds of thousands of kids that are looking to great wrestling role models that are coming out of this state, and it just keeps turning itself over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. Coach Jackson, can I try to stump you with a little wrestling trivia?
Sure.
Who was the first native son of Iowa to win an Olympic gold medal in wrestling?
The native son is Glenn Brand.
That'd be 1948, wouldn't it? At Iowa State. He didn't wrestle at Iowa. I have Marshall Towns' Allie Morrison earning a gold in the 1928 Olympics.
In wrestling?
Yes.
Wrestled
for the Fighting Illini at the University of Illinois. So, we can check our facts as once we get done with this program. Who has any closing words here? Marv Ryland, you're at Iran on the mat there helping high school wrestlers achieve their dreams. What are your final thoughts?
Well, I agree totally with what Terry Brands just said, and the reason that we're successful in Iowa is it's the blue-collar type, farm-type kids that come up through the program, and they have their idols, and they work to be just like them, and like he says, it turns over year after year after year, and I credit that character and conditioning and et cetera to why Iowa is so successful.
Mm-hmm. Craig Sasker, what can we look forward to in sports news, the next milepost to tell us how this debate will be going?
Just pay attention to themat.com and keep wrestling in the Olympics.com, our Facebook pages at USA Wrestling, and keep wrestling in the Olympics.com. We're going to have regular updates. And another thing I wanted to plug is the Des Moines Register is doing kind of a weekly series on articles, and Bryce Miller, their columnist, is leading the charge on that, and keep an eye on that as well. And you know, just any little thing you can do, I mean, even if it's signing a petition or making a small donation, just anything you can do to help us.
Okay, Craig Sasker of USA Wrestling, Kevin Jackson, Daron Wynn, Terry Brands, Marv Ryland, Dylan Chase, and those who called or emailed us, thank you so much for an interesting hour. Thank you all. River to River is produced by Sarah Bowden and Emily Woodbury. Technical support from Dennis Reese and Ames. Help from Garrett Van Leeuwen. The executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.